Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We hatch the Ryder Cup, and looks like Europe's getting a little momentum here in the afternoon session after a very good showing by the homeboys in the morning session, and we need some answers. We need a sense of the course. 50,000 people on the grounds at Whistling Straits, which is amazing. And we tried to have our good buddy Brandel Chamblee yesterday. He obviously tried his best. We had a little bit of an issue in terms of getting it through, but good enough to make good today as we get a little deeper into the Ryder Cup on day one. He's with us here for the Golf Channel, the great, in my opinion, and the opinion of many, by far the best analyst in the game, Brandel Chamblee. Brandel, Tiki, and Tierney, how are you tonight, buddy? What's happening today?
I'm always happy to talk to you guys, certainly. But this week in particular, I got out there this morning, my wife and I, we watched the first tee, everybody go off. We kind of got in the middle of it, and I left there, and I came back and watched the golf. I was like, that is the most fun first day of any event I think I've ever watched. I'm meant to be impartial. Like, I'm not meant to care who wins this thing, right? I'm just supposed to play it straight, but just being out there walking around, it was a hoot. For a year and a half, we've had no crowds, and boy, we had crowds there the other day, and it was lit up, and the golf was great. It was great, and you're right, it's getting a little tighter right now, and this thing could be, by the day's end, it could be a dead even match.
Yeah, and the winds are right off the water. That's going to be interesting. I mean, the 17th is about 220, 222, got some teeth there. Par fives, drivable par fours. I mean, listen, on paper, we're far superior. We all know that. And that's why we're prohibitive favorites to win this thing. I don't know the answer to this. I mean, I could recite history. I know that in 2016, we got off to a good start in the morning. Europe, just thrashed us in the second session. 2018, we start out quickly. Boom. They come back, maybe have a few pints at lunch, and they start playing better golf in the end. What is the dynamic between us starting quickly and then Team Europe always rallying in the afternoon?
Well, it could probably just be as simple as guys getting ahead of themselves and, knowing that they're the better team on paper and having the lead and maybe just getting a little bit complacent. You can never really count out the European team. We only need to think back to 2012 to know that. I mean, they came back from 10-6 down and made it look like nothing, and they did it on foreign soil. So doubly hard to do that. So, they're on paper, they're really nowhere near the U.S. team. I said the other day, the last time I looked at teams with this kind of disparity in ball striking, world rank, and home course one, not the other, it was 2009 President's Cup, which I kind of thought would be over on Saturday, and it almost was over on Saturday.
Yeah.
This one, I don't think it's going to be over on Saturday by any stretch of the imagination, but I certainly have said all week I think the U.S. will win by 2, 3, 4 points.
Well, let's hope for the good guys that happens. Brandon, it looks really windy out there. And I don't think, these guys are used to this, so it's not going to really affect them. But what kind of effect is it going to have on the conditions of the course?
Well, the course is brutal, first of all. I mean, you catch it on a calm day, it's brutal. So, but it's right on Lake Michigan. It blows here pretty much every single day. Typically, when the wind blows, the better ball strikers have a chance to separate themselves. So we can now differentiate players based upon 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 20, and over 20-mile-an-hour winds. We have those metrics. And you can type all that in, and the gap between the Europeans and the United States even gets wider. Everybody loves to say the Europeans are better at links golf, better in the wind. That's a myth. It doesn't play out. It's like at the Open Championship, okay? That's links golf. It was windy. There were 6 Americans in the top 10, including Colin Morikawa, one. There was only one European in the top 10, and that was Jon Rahm. So the Europeans are better ball strikers, the United States are better ball strikers. And when it gets windy, it gets more difficult, and the better ball strikers can separate themselves. The way to have the most parity is to have a soft golf course with no wind. The way to have the least parity, where you have players that separate themselves, is you have a hard golf course with wind, and that's what's shaping up right now.
That's really interesting. That is a misnomer that quite frankly, I've subscribed to for years. I just always assumed, yeah, I mean, I've heard it my whole life. Europeans are used to playing in blustery conditions. I've heard that my whole life.
It certainly may well have been the case in previous eras and under certain years, but right now,
gotcha.
With the likes of a Justin Thomas, a Colin Morikawa, or Brooks Koepka,
mm-hmm.
you go down the list and you start to stack up these great ball strikers and iron players, and you're like, okay, Europe has, I'm not saying Europe doesn't have great players. They do. But U.S. is a click above it.
Gotcha. Brando Chambly, Golf Channel, of course, our good buddy with us, Arntiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Now, I know that he tried to defuse it. For the most part, he did, I guess. But there was a little controversy that followed Mr. Koepka into the press tent. And, you know, Zinger said, hey, basically, if you don't want to be here, give up your spot. We know he's a world-class player. What do you sense his demeanor to be around the course, for a team sport? And obviously, golf is never a team sport outside of these few days in the President's Cup and the Walker Cup. Like, what do you see from Koepka disposition-wise?
Well, you know, he said he didn't mean it was bad. He said he meant it was different, that the media spun it that way. But the actual quote was a verbatim quote. The media didn't spin it. It was a verbatim quote.
Correct.
Where he even talked about when you're playing a team event with a partner and they put you in a bad spot, and he inferred as if it was hard to put up with. That was everybody's take. It wasn't one person's take. It wasn't a biased person's take. So from that, you'd think, well, okay, it's an inconvenience a bit to play in the Ryder Cup. And to say it's different is to state the obvious. Of course it's different. It's a team event. Golf's an individual sport. Having said that, you know, he's monstrously talented and played fine. He missed a few putts in his match, but otherwise he played fine. But, I mean, for the most part, this morning was DJ and Colin Morikawa, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele. This is alternate shot. Tough golf course, and they were 5 under par through, 15, 16 holes. It's hard to shoot 1 or 2 under par an alternate shot. And then, the team of Westwood, Fitzpatrick, they only made 1 birdie. They didn't play well. Rory and Ian Poulter didn't play well, and that was the difference. But Brooks Koepka, I think his competitive juices will light up because he's sort of backed himself into a corner where if he doesn't perform,
mm-hmm.
everybody's going to look at him like, well, clearly you just didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the pressure's like major championship pressure.
Yeah. You know, Brando, BT and both have both played in tournaments where it's a scramble or it's alternate shot or it's 4 ball, whatever it may be. For these professionals, which one of these formats is the most challenging? I imagine 4 ball is the easiest because it's just like they're on regular tour day. But what's the hardest for these guys to play?
Well, foursomes, because everybody has different impact characteristics, launch characteristics, and they get so fine-tuned that they know their numbers perfectly. They know what all their equipment is set up for their launch angles and spin rates, but they have to adjust to other players' golf balls in foursomes. So other players are going to have different spin rates, lower spin, higher spin, lower launch, higher launch. So they have to adjust to their golf ball. So they have to go out there and play a different golf ball pretty much every other hole, which it not only affects your tee shots and your approach shots, it affects your chips and your putts and all that. So that's one. And the other is just getting in the rhythm of foursomes. Europe plays foursomes as, a lot of, certainly the Britons, they play foursomes as just natural course day in and day out. So it's pretty alien to the United States. But having said that, they've played brilliantly in foursomes over the last 4 or 5 Ryder Cups.
Hey, Brando, what is your read? It's early, but your early read on the captaincy from Steve Stricker. I mean, listen, if guys aren't striping the ball and making putts, it doesn't matter what you do. But there's still a methodology to being a good captain before the event, but also during the event. What are you seeing from Strick?
Well, if you've ever met him, he's the nicest, humblest, quiet, but a leader, a quiet leader. I played with Steve Stricker. One of his first tour events was the Canadian Open. I got paired with him. I got paired with him a couple of other events when I'm not even sure he was on the tour. He was just getting sponsors exemptions, and he was playing himself into like the final groups of tournaments. And even then, you could sense there was something different about the guy. He had a great character and a lot of class. And I think that sort of quiet leadership is what Ben Crenshaw brought to the team, mm-hmm. kind of what Paul McGinley brought to his European team. You know, these guys, it's easy enough to say, hey, they're great players. You can just say, there's the first heat, get after it. But I do think that a team takes on the sort of leadership qualities of those that are in place to lead them.
Yeah.
And they're not going to say the wrong thing. They're not going to say something that's going to cause controversy, I don't think. They're not going to say something that gives added incentive to their opponents. The United States has fallen victim to that many times. And I think because he also brought Fred Couples into the locker room, I think Fred's a great influence because the U.S. team is just tight, and having Stricker and Couples in there, I think is going to keep the guys loose. And that's what Europe does. They play with great intensity, but they also play with great levity.
Yeah, no, that's how you got to be. I mean, yes, there's a lot at stake here, but it is still a game, and it's fun. It should be fun at this point.
Right.
Who from Team USA should we be looking for to potentially have that day? I know Colin Morikawa, who you mentioned earlier, this is his first Ryder Cup, correct? And he hadn't been playing well, but I was reading leading up into this Ryder Cup that he's actually feeling like he's quote unquote back. Who should we look for to have a surprisingly good weekend?
Well, it's not often that you get a rookie in a Ryder Cup who's won two major championships. So, you know, Colin Morikawa has it all, especially if the wind is blowing. But the team of the biggest surprise in the afternoon was that they split the team, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele. I got to admit, that I didn't see that coming.
Mm.
And I did not see them. I mean, I know that they got to get the other four, the four guys that set this morning, they had to get them out there. Scottie Scheffler, Finau, Bryson DeChambeau, Harris English, they got to get them out there. But I just couldn't imagine setting Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay. I thought they'd go, you know, all four team matches and boat race everybody. And I was a little surprised they set Colin Morikawa. So that team, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, and foursomes, you know, they'll pick up right where they left off, I have no doubt. But I think Colin Morikawa could very well be the star for the U.S. at the end of the week.
There we go. And Finau squad just picked up a hole, so they're all even with that match. This is going to be all sorts of action, a lot of twists and turns. The expectations to win, and if we don't, there will be, I don't know if there will be repercussions, but there will be some swift criticisms. You know, this is, again, prohibitive favorites. It's like a heavyweight fighter who's supposed to win and he doesn't win. People are going to want to know why. And maybe what you just talked about with Cantlay not being out there, you know, that's something that we could revisit. Hopefully we don't have to, but we'll be watching. Love the coverage. You know that. We all do. Great stuff, Brandel. Really appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks so much. It's always fun talking to you guys. And I look forward to talking to you guys some more soon down the road.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.